Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis and Beis. We're going to backtrack a little bit to Amar Rav Yosef, which are the last three words in line. Amar Rav Yosef, we're going to raise the issue that Ula, we said yesterday, says that when the Torah allows one Isser in a certain sense, we're also going to allow another Isser that goes along with it. Meaning, we said that if a person has Tzaras, and we automatically, by Torah law, allow him to stick certain parts of his body in the Azara, so if he also happens to be a Balkari, which is a lower form of Tumah than Tumah Tzaras, we're willing to overlook the fact that he's putting parts of his body in the Azara as a Balkari as well. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out is there a logical extension of that? Where else do we apply this notion that if he has something that's more severe that's allowed, so then we're going to allow something less severe as well? Perhaps when it comes to bringing the Karban Pesach Betuma, that we allow it Betumas Mace, maybe we'll allow it if in addition to Tumas Mace, he also has some lesser form of Tumas. So we're going to have different ways of formulating that possibility. Then the Gemara is going to go back to the discussion, Bia v'mikzas shmabia or not shmabia, partial entering into a place, considered entering into that place. So the Gemara is going to try to prove that Bia b'mitzvahs is Shema Bia from the fact that we do not allow Tekef L'smicha Shechita. We do not have a Tekef L'smicha Shechita by the Yasha Metzora, because the Yasha Metzora cannot do the Smicha in the Azara. Well, if Bia b'mitzvahs Shema Bia, sure he can. Just stick his hands in the Azara and let it happen that way. So the Gemara is going to try to bring the Raya. The Gemara is going to reject that Raya. Then the Gemara is going to raise a question that if there's a din of smicha on a daraisa level, and there's a din of takeoff of smicha shchita on a daraisa level, if both of those dinim are daraisa, then why don't we allow the mitzvah to just go into the azara based on those dinim daraisa? Obviously, the Torah is telling me that's what you got to do. So the mitzvah should be able to go into the azara and do the smicha. So the Gemara is going to give three answers to that question. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to give two more explanations why Reish Lakish allows a Tamei Meis, who also happens to be a Balkari, to stick his hands into the Azara, even though Bia b'mitzvah Shema Bia and a Balkari that's Nichnas the Azara is Chayiv Kari. So the Gemara is going to have two other explanations of the Shita of Reish Lakish. But let's get backtrack to Amar Rav Yosef. Last three words on the line, about 10 lines before the end of the page, on Lamed Beis and Beis. So the again, Ula had told us that if a person who's a Mitzora is allowed to stick certain parts of his body into the Azara as part of the Tyra process of Mitzora, so if he also happens to be a Balkari, we're going to overlook the Tumas Kari as well and allow him to stick parts of his body. Hol, Hutu Tzerata, Hutu the Kiruyah. So Amar Rav Yosef, Kasavar Ula, from the fact that Ula is willing to say such a svara, that if we're going to overlook his Tumas Tzaras, when it comes, we're going to be Matir, his entering the Azara, Betumas Tzaras, then we automatically are going to be Matir, his entering the Azara, Betumas Keri. You know, with a halacha by Karban Pesach, is that if the majority of Klal Yisrael is Tamei Meis, they bring the Karban Pesach Bituma. But if the majority of Klal Yisrael has a lower form of Tumah, Tumas Ziva, for example, then the Tumah is not Nidcha. But Karban Pesach is not going to be brought. So Ruban Zavim V'nasu Tamei Meisim. What if the majority of Klal Yisrael were Zavim already, so they're not able to bring Karban Pesach, but then they all become Tamei Meisim on top of that? So Hol V'Hutru L'Tumasun Hutru L'Zivasan. We should say, well, since the Tumas Meis becomes is overlooked, and we allow them to bring Karban Pesach B'Tumas Meis, so we should also allow them to bring Karban Pesach B'Tumas Ziva, meaning the Ziva is once the Tumas Meis is Hutar, the Tumas Ziva is also Hutar. So Amale Abaye mi dummies. Abaye says, no, you can't compare those two dinim. The when a person becomes a Zav, the Torah was never matir him to be mark of the Karban Pesach. So later when he becomes more Tamei, when the majority of Klal Yisrael becomes more Tamei, it's not mistader that then we're going to be matir them to bring the Karban Pesach. Then we're willing to overlook the Ziva, meaning the Ziva was there in advance. Tuma ishtarai, the Tuma Sameis that comes last, that is hutar by the Torah, that the Torah allows. Ziva lo ishtarai, but the Tuma Ziva, the Torah never allowed, so it remains where it was, meaning nothing happens to it, nothing changed about the Tumas Ziva. That's very different than a Mitzora who then became a Balkari, because the Heter was already there vis-a-vis his being a Mitzora. So now we introduce a new, lighter form of Tumma called Balkari. That's not going to ruin the Heter that already existed as a result of him being a Mitzora. So Amalei, Abai says back to Rav Yosef, maybe we said it wrong. Dilma Hachi Kamar, maybe what you meant to say is as follows. Switch the order. Ruben Timei Mesim. What if the majority of Klal Yisrael were already Timei Mesim? And then Vinasu Zavim. And then they became Zavim. So Hol Hutul Tumasan, Hutul Zivasan. Maybe that's where you wanted to say that since we're going to allow for the Tumas Meis, we're going to allow them to bring Karm Pesach, we'll allow the Tumas Ziva for them to bring Karm Pesach as well. So Amalei Rav Yosef said to Abai in. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. This you have all the time, that Rav Yosef says something and Abai has to remind him what he probably meant or what he probably said. Because as Rav Yosef got older, he got sick, he forgot much of his learning. Abai was a loyal Talmud all over Shas. He's always reminding Rav Yosef what he probably meant and what he probably said. So then Abai says, wait, Vakati lo dami. But still, he says, even if that's what you meant, it still doesn't work. Because you see, Mitzora heterahu. The idea that Mitzora sticks the Bahonos Yadav Raglav into the Azara, that's absolute heter gomer, meaning that's not something that we do with a krech. That's part of the process. That's how he becomes Tahar. That's demanded, required by the Torah. So whole history, history. So we could say, okay, if we're totally matir tumas taras under those circumstances, so we'll be matir tumas kari as well. But tuma, when it comes to allowing a majority of the tzibur, the tamei meis, to bring karm pesach, that's only dechuyehi. That's with the krechts that we're not so happy about doing. That's only nivcha for the sake of the karm pesach. And that requires ritzoy tzitz, meaning that's not something that's an automatic and just absolute heter. So maybe lahay itchai, lahal lo itchai. Maybe for tumas meis we allow that tachia to happen, but for tumas ziva that tachia doesn't happen. So amale Rava ad Rava ibcha mistavra. Rava says, I see your chilek, but I see it in the reverse. I understand that you're being mechalik between hutra and tachia, but I think the chilek should work in the other direction. That mitzara teiruhu lahayshtarei. If it's hutra, like by Mitzora, so then I understand there's hutra for Tumas Taras. There's no hutra for Tumas Kari, but Tuma Dechuyahu. But when it comes to Tumas Meis, that's only Dechuya. Mali Chad Dechuya, Mali Shtei Dechuyos. So it shouldn't make a difference whether we're being Docha, just the Yisra of Tumas Meis, or we're being Docha, the Yisra of Tumas Ziva as well. Which turns out the Gemara says, interestingly, Mechlal, Detrav. Everyone agrees that Tumah is Dechuyah. They only argue whether what's a bigger Svara to be Matir, the lesser Tumah as well. Is Hutra a bigger Svara to be Matir, the lesser Tumah, or is Dechuyah a bigger Svara to be Matir, the lesser Tumah? But everyone agrees that Tumah is Dechuyah. That is a Sugya Mesechas Yuma Davavim Beis, where it's Machlokas, Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes, where the Tumas Meis is Hutra B'tzibur, and therefore there's no sense in even looking for Tahorim. So if Kohanim of that Beis Av, whose turn it was to do the Avodah, that day became Tamei Meis, let them do it even if there are Kohanim who are Tahorim from a different Beis Av, it doesn't matter, it's absolutely Hutra. Or do we say, no, Tuma Dechuya B'tzibur, and if there are Tahorim available for the Karbanos Tzibur, you should look for Kohanim who are Tahorim for those Karbanos Tzibur. So we hear Rashi writes that if Tumas Dechuya B'tzibur, it requires Ritzoy Tzitz, which is interesting, because Rashi in Yuma Dav Zayin says that only Tumas HaKadshim requires Ritzoy Tzitz, but Tumas HaGuf B'tzibur is Nidcha even without Ritzoy Tzitz. So it seems to be a stira in Rashi. Okay, but anyway, that's the Gemara's comment that Tumah, it seems that everyone agrees Tumah Dechuyah B'tzibur in this context. Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion, Bia B'miktsas, is it Shema Bia, is it not Shema Bia? So Ula had said, Bia B'miktsas Shema Bia, partially entering a place is Shema Bia. That is called entering. We mentioned yesterday, in Okei Halacha L'maisa, when it comes to going to the Kotel, there are certain people that are makbid not to even go within a certain distance of the Kotel, because as the wall goes up, the stones get a little thinner. At the base, the stones are thicker, so they're concerned that if you go right up until the stones that are exposed of the Kotel, so underneath the floor of the Kotel Plaza, there are wider stones, and you're standing on top of those stones, and maybe that's already already a Bia B'Mikzah. We're discussing the fingers in the Kotel. Anyway, this is the notion of Bia B'Mikzah. So Lema Mesayele, maybe there's a Raya to Ula from the Braisa, that Bia B'Mikzah is Shema Bia. Why? Because the Braisa tells us, Kol Hasmichos Shayusham Korei Alein Ani Takeoff the smicha shritra, chut mizu shaisa bishar nikanar. Shein mitzar yichol likarnis sam achamazna midam chetas midam hashamo. Every smicha and every carbon, that the bailam of the carbon have to do the smicha on the animal's head before the shrita, we always apply the principle. Take of the smicha shchita, that the smicha happens immediately before the shchita. No hafsek whatsoever between the smicha and the shchita. Why Rashi says? Because it says v'shachat v'samach. So we darshan that it's got to be one right after the other. The Mishnah Menachos tells us b'makom shesomchin shochtin v'take of the smicha shchita. Right, that it has to happen immediately. So except for the smicha of the Yashem Etzora. Chutz Mizu means except for the smicha of the Yashem Etzora. Why? Because the smicha of the Yashem Etzora was done in Shar Nikanar, and then they had to bring the carbon into the Azara to do the Shechita, because the Metzora is not allowed into the Azara, so they had to do the smicha outside of the Azara, then bring the animal into the Azara. And the Metzora can't go into the Azara until they do the Azara of the Dam Chatas Damash. It's a little misleading. The Gemara uses the lashon, the Brisa uses the lashon, Achamazin alav midam chatas midam hashava. They don't both get sprinkled on him, on the Metzora. Mazin alav means mazin bishvilo, meaning on his behalf. But the point is, he's not allowed in the Azara. But if you hold Bia B'Mikzah Slo Shema Bia, but if you hold only partially entering is not called entering the Azara, so he is allowed to partially enter the Azara, La'el Yadiv L'Smoch. Right? If you have Bia B'Mikzah Slo Shema Bia, La'el Yadiv L'Smoch, let him stick his hands into the Azara, just his hands, and do the smicha that way, and then you can do the shchita right there on the spot. So you'll have a take-off of the smicha shchita. So granted, if he has to do the smicha completely outside of the Azara, and then they have to bring the animal into the Azara, that's not take-off. To go from one place to the other is not take-off. But if he could put his hands in the Azara and do the smicha in the Azara and they could check the animal right there on the spot, that is takeoff. So we should say takeoff the smicha shchita. Now the Gemara assumes that it's not called takeoff when they're a step outside the Azara, right? If he does the smicha outside the Azara, they move one step over, right over the line into the Azara, that's already not called takeoff. To go from makom to makom is already not considered immediate. So that's a mechap nafkamina for us in other halachas that require takeoff. For example, we require lechatchila, that the Gemara says Masech Sota, takeoff lenetila bracha. This is in the context of Birchas Kohanim, and the Kohen washes hands and should do Birchas Kohanim right after, but we apply that as well to Netila Sidayim and the Su'uda, right? That right after we do Netila Sidayim, we should right away have our Ramotzi. So how much of a hafsik do we allow? Going mimakom lemakom, from one place to another, may already be not takeoff. So anyway, so I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef defends, and he says, no, it could be that Bia B'Mikzas is lo shma bia, and still it's not going to be enough for the mitzvah to stick his hands in the Azara, because Hamani Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Damar Meruchak Tzafon. Maybe we're following the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that you can't do the shchita right there, right at the entrance of the Azara, right over the threshold of the Azara, because the halach is a kachikachim requires shchitasin bat tzafon. But there's a big machlokas tanaim. What's called tzafon? Does tzafon mean everything north of the mizbeach, all the way across the entire width of the Azara, or maybe no, to the north of the Mizbeach, but only across from those 32 amos of Mizbeach, which would put you 22 amos away from the entrance. So even if he's going to stick his hand through Shar Nikanor and he's going to do a smicha right there, but it's still going to be 22 amos away from the place where they have to do the shchita, and therefore we cannot apply the principle of takeoff l'smicha shchita. So they have no raya that Bia B'Mikzas is in fact Shma Bia. Now the Rebbe Kiva Eger in Chidushim, he wonders that if according to this daya that Bia B'Mikzas is lo Shma Bia, why doesn't the Metzora put his hands into the Azara and do the smicha? Good, he will not be able to be mekayim take off the smicha shchita. Granted, we've shown that. It's going to be 22 amos away anyway. You're not going to have take off the smicha shchita. but he could still do the smicha lefnei Hashem, at least. Meaning there seem to be two separate dinim, that two separate advantages of having smicha in the Azara. Advantage number one is take off the smicha shkita. Okay, you won't be able to accomplish that over here, because he certainly can't walk all the way to the tzafon of the Azara, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. But advantage number two is at least the smicha is lefnei Hashem. Being lefnei Hashem is a significant thing. So what he means to say is that if you say like Rashi and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that smicha ba'azara is learned from take off the smicha shkita, so I understand it very well. You're not going to be able to be mekayim take off the smicha shkita. But according to Tosfos and Daf Lamed Beis, that there's a separate din called smicha lefnei Hashem, smicha ba'azara. Why not at least try to fulfill that din? So the Chaznish writes that if the smicha is only a din midrabanan, then we would not allow him to put his hands in the azara in order to do a smicha that's only drabanan. And the Chaznish says, when you cannot fulfill take off the smicha shchita, that turns the smicha into a din midrabanan. Meaning the smicha is only daraisa when you could do it right. But if you're not going to be able to take off the smicha shchita, then such a smicha is only midrabanan. And therefore, there's not going to be a heter to stick his hands inside the azara. But just on this point of the 22 amma hefsik between the walk from the gate to the place where the smicha is required. This, as I mentioned, comes up halacha lemaisa when it comes to netilas yadayim, because the halacha is by netilas yadayim. Shulchan Aruch writes in Rechaim Simkuf Samach Vav Sif Aleph, Yesh Omrim Shein Sarach Lizar Milahafsik Be Netilah Amotzi. Some say that there's no issur of being mafsik between netilas yadayim and amotzi. You can't be mafsik between washing your hands and saying the bracha on netilas yadayim. It's always important to point that out, because a lot of the people still don't realize that halacha. They wash their hands and they're still talking until they dry their hands, until they say the bracha. Not allowed to do that, absolutely not. The bracha is going on the netila. So as soon as you wash your hands, you have to keep quiet, because that for sure not. Talking between, or being mafsik between the netilas yadayim and eating hamotzi, that's less serious, much less serious than talking between washing and drying the hands. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omrim, that it's not a problem at all to be mafsik between washing and the hamotzi. But Yesh Omrim, Shetzarach Lizayir, Vitov Lizayir. Some say that you do have to be careful, and therefore that's what we try to be makpid. We don't talk between netilas yadayim and hamotzi. But then the Ramah writes, how much is a hefsik? Let's say how much time, without any speaking, how much speaking even just a little bit, but how much time is a hefsik? Says the Rama, the amount of time it takes to go, 22 amos. Where do they get the amount 22 amos? Tosa says this explicitly in Sota Daf Lamed Tesa Med Aleph, that when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, take off the Birchas Kohanim, the amount of time, the shear of takeoff is derived from our sugya. That our sugya, we assume take off the smicha shkita, so we assume it's 22 amos, right? It's 22 amos is no longer a fulfillment of takeoff, because that's how long it takes to get from the Pesach Azara to the Tzafon of the Azara. So that's how we see that. That's once you hit the 22 amos, a walk, you know, the time it takes to take a 22-hour walk, you're now no longer within the realm of takeoff. It's interesting because, yeah, that's according to the Gemara's second daya, the Gemara's answer. But the original daya of the Gemara was that even just a second, right? I mean, originally the Gemara thought you're going to have him do the smicha right by the outside of the Azara, and then you'll go into the Azara and do the shechita right there on the spot. And even that's a violation of taking the smicha shchita. Even that's not soon enough. So the place he points out, Rabbi Yonasan Epshus points out, that what you see is that there is two dinim in takeoff. There's a lag of time, and then there's a change of place. That going from one makom to another makom is a violation of takeoff, and also a lag of time of 22 amos worth of time is the time it takes to walk 22 amos is also a violation of takeoff. Okay, so now the Gemara says, but wait, isn't there another eitzah that we could do to allow the guy to do smicha on his asher, allow the mitzora to do smicha on the asher mitzora, and still fulfill take up the smicha shchita? Here's what you got to do. Beloved pishpesh, can we make like a little pesach in the northern wall of the Azara, right where across from where the Mizbeach is. So that way he'll be able to stick his hands into there, he'll do the smicha on the animal, and you can check the animal right there on the spot. So shouldn't we just do that, and that way we'll solve all the problems, and you'll be able to take the smicha shchita, even for the Asher Mitzara. So Tavayu Rav and Dami Tavayu, they both say you can't do renovations on the Beis Hamikdash. You can't just like, you know, remodel things in the Beis Hamikdash. Hakol b'ksav miyav Hashem alei askil kol melech satavnis. That things are, this is determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Beis Hamikdash is supposed to look like. You can't say, oh, why don't we just put a doorway over there? That would be super convenient. Super convenient. There's no such thing when you're talking with the Beis Hamikdash. That's the whole discussion. Tosfos points out from the Mishnah Sanhedrin that al pi Beis Din, you're allowed to be mosif onto the Azara. So he says, why? Why is Beis Din allowed to make a decision to be mosif on the Azara? We have a pasuk. A pasuk in the very yom. You're not allowed to be. You're not allowed to change things. So Tosfos says you're allowed to be mosif when there's an asmachta from a pasuk to tell you to be mosif. And the raya is from the sugya Masechta Sukkah daf nun aleph from Beis. The Gemara in Sukkah at the end of Sukkah tells us that initially they would have the men and the women would be in the, you know, the men bifnim, women bachutz, or men bachutz, women bifnim, and they were all mixing together. It wasn't good. It was maybe the day called the Srosh. It wasn't a good thing. So then they decided that they're going to build a balcony for the women. Right, but this is a place of Shueva to build a balcony for the women. So that way the men and the women are not going to be able to mix. That's the source in Shas for having a smicha, for having a machita rather in shul. It's based on that Gemara that they built a balcony because there shouldn't be mixing. So the Gemara says, build a balcony. You can't just build a balcony in the base of something. It's just a site. No, they found a pasuk. So there's a pasuk that indicates that there should be something. So there's so the asmachta from a pasuk is apparently enough, which is an interesting idea. When we use the lashon of asmachta, it implies that it's not a direct sivui. For a direct sivui, we probably would have known it originally, right? Asmachta means finding an asmachta is good enough, which is indicative of the Ritva's understanding of asmachta. The Ritva Rashan writes that whenever we have an asmachta from a pasuk, it doesn't mean that stam it's a mnemonic device. That's how the Rambam writes in that it's just a mnemonic device, that it's purely midrabanan, and the easy way to remember it is by remembering the pasuk. The Ritva says no, asmachta means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to make a din drabanan, and he's telling you, he's hinting to you in the pasuk to make a din drabanan. This sounds a little more like that, right? We're allowed to be mosif on the Yerva Azaros, on the Azaros specifically, when there's an asmachta. Why? Because it's saying that that's the Ratzon Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that he wants to, but stam to make a din Rabbanan, that we're going to change things in the Beis HaMikdash, that we're not allowed to do. We're not allowed to remodel the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now the Gemara says another rejection of the Raya. Yigida Amri Amar of Yosef, Kola Somech Rosho Verubo Machnes. Why, you want the Eitza that let him just stick his hands in and do Smicha? You can't do Smicha that way. Smicha requires Rosho Verubo. My Taima, Kol Kocho Bein. And Smicha doesn't just mean placing your hands on the head of the animal. It means putting with the full weight of your body. You need kol kocho hilchach lo efshar. So you can't do that unless you actually go into the azara. So it's impossible to do smicha without Rosh HaVerubo entering the Azara. So the Acharnim ask, you know, the Rambam writes in the third parak of Maisar Karbanos that you need smicha b'kol kocho, and yet when it comes to the smicha of the Asher Metzora in the fourth parak of Mechusrei Kapar, the Rambam writes that he just machnes shtei yadav la'azara v'samich. He just puts two hands in the Azara and does smicha. So they point out that l'chora, it's against our Gemara. Our Gemara says that you need Rosh HaVerubo if you're going to do smicha. It's impossible to just stick two hands in the Azara. So the Karen explains, not impossible, meaning there's no way that the Gemara is saying that it's impossible to do smicha b'chol kocho when you just stick your hands in the Azara. It's just unlikely. So the Rambam would hold that for the Asher Metzora, we tell him to be super careful, only stick your hands in, but still do smicha b'chol kocho. Right? The only time with smicha is not the b'chol kocho is when it's nashim somchas rishos. Right, that women can't do smicha, but we allow them to do something that looks like smicha. So that they don't do smicha b'chol kocho, they're not allowed to do smicha b'chol kocho. But normally smicha requires kol kocho. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to explain the Braisa that an Asher Metzora cannot be mekayim take up the smicha shchita. So my kasavar. Well, if you hold that both of these dinim are daraisa, that an Asher Metzora requires smicha on a daraisa level, and that there's a din of take off the smicha shchita on a daraisa level, isn't that the Torah then telling you that he's allowed to go in and do the smicha? meaning if you hold take of the smicha shchita, so he's got to be in the azara to do the smicha, and that's a din d'oraisa. So obviously the Torah told us the asher mitzora gets a smicha. So this should be just like the heter to stick bow and yad, bow and regel in to get the hazaa. So why is it allowed? Because the Torah says that's the process. So this is the Torah telling us that this is the process. The chara is a little difficult though. Because Tosus points out, because all tmeim have to bring their carbon while they're still tame, right? The carbon is part of the tara process. So what do? Whenever a tame person has to bring a carbon, what do? They send their carbon with somebody else, and they don't do smicha on the carbon because they're not allowed to go in for the sake of the smicha when they're tame. I mean, if I'm tame, so I can't go, so I'll send the carbon with someone else. So why don't we say the same thing by a mitzvah? That a mitzvah is a tame person, he can't go in, so he'll send his carbon with somebody else. So Tos points out there's a big difference. A person who happens to be tame, who has to bring the carbon, who also happens to have to bring a carbon, it happens to be that he's tame and he's unable to do it, so he could send somebody else. But had he been tahar, he'd be able to do the smicha. By mitzvah, by definition, part of the process, he's always tame when he's bringing the asha mitzvah. He always has taras, otherwise he wouldn't be bringing an asha mitzvah. So it can't be that there's a din of smicha that could never ever be fulfilled because he always has to do it on yidei shliach. Now there's got to be some way to do the smicha. So isn't this the Torah telling us if you all take off the smicha shchitas daraisa and you hold the smicha of nashim mitzvahs daraisa? So the Torah is telling us that it's allowed. So Amar Rav Adi Bar Masna gzeira shemiyabra b'psius. You're right. On a daraisa level, it's absolutely allowed. We're just afraid he's going to walk around too much in the azara, and that's going to be unnecessary. He's going to be chayiv kares. Meaning, maybe Rashi writes, maybe after he does the smicha, he's going to go one more step lefnim more than he had to. And for that, he's chayiv kares, which is an interesting way of formulating it, the way Rashi says, that afterwards, one more step ifnin. The Rashash points out, two chidush min Rashi. Sounds like if prior to doing the smicha, he's walking around there and he's taking extra steps, that's not a chayiv kares. It also sounds like if after doing the smicha, he walks more than necessary, he zigzags his way out, but it's not another step lifnin. But he's, instead of taking a straight line, he's zigzagging his way out. That also sounds like not a problem according to Rashi. That it's only lefnim and it's only afterwards. That's a little bit strange because the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Yudal tells us that if someone becomes tame while they're in the Azara, you got to go a straight line. They're not allowed to go, and they're not allowed to zigzag their way out. They're not allowed to be yotzei b'derech arucha. Okay, but that's how Rashi understands that. But the Gemara is clear. This is all a gzeira midrabanan. On the daraisa level in a chinami, the mitzvah can go in and do a smicha. Rabbanan, we're not going to allow it. Ikadamri Amar Rav Ada Bar Masna, some say that the answer was as follows. Smicha sasha mitzora daraisa, but if take up the smicha shchita, lav daraisa. Yeah, there's a requirement of smicha on the asha mitzora and daraisa level, but the din of take up the smicha shchita, that's only a din midrabbanan. So since midaraisa, he could have done the smicha outside of the azara, and then they would bring the animal into the azara and do the shchita. So you don't have a raya that the Torah allows him to go into the azara. You don't require to take up the smicha shchita on a daraisa level. Meaning, apparently, the Tana of this brisa does not think the samach v'shachat should be darshan to teach that b'makom smicha, that's where you need to do the shchita. That's how Rashi understands. So that's the question then becomes, so where did the Rabbanan invent this idea of take off the smicha shchita? Meaning if there's no pasuk, if there's no drasha, so what a strange thing to invent, that the smicha, there's two avodos, the smicha, the shchita. So why would we automatically juxtapose the two? So Sfasemis suggests, because they were concerned, that what if you lag too long between the smicha and the shchita, what would happen if there was a psul that came up between the smicha and the shchita, and then you couldn't do the shchita? Then it turns out that your smicha on the karban was avoda b'kachim and it was a violation of mi'ila b'kachim. You're not allowed to do that. I mean, that's why in Nashim Somchas you have to be careful that to actually put your full weight on a kachim animal, shalom b'makom mitzvah, is aser. So that's where they came up with the take off the smicha shchita, that we're afraid of what might happen. That's, by the way, that's the reason we also have such a din of take off the chafifa tvila. a woman goes to the mikvah, she should have her chafifa right before she goes to the mikvah. There shouldn't be a lag between the chafifa and going to the mikvah. A rabbi was just asking me yesterday from a different community that women in this other community outside of New York wanted to be able to do their chafifa at home and come to the mikvah and just right away dip right in the mikvah without having to take a shower or do anything at the mikvah itself. I said, no mikvah, I don't think of any Orthodox mikvah in the world except for Woodmere, I don't think allows such a thing, that you have to do a chafifa, the take of the chafifa, tevila, right after the chafifa, you have to do tevila, you have to juxtapose them immediately, you can't have a lag between them. So good, she could do her whole chafifa at home, but some quick shower, something at the mikvah, so that you have the din of takeoff. Aside from that, so he said, how am I going to explain it to him? She's going to say she did it all at home already. So first of all, you could explain that there's such a din of takeoff. And secondly, you could explain that it's a hygienic policy. Well, we're going to allow women to walk off the street. I don't know how filthy she is. So we require that everyone has to take a shower before going into the mikvah, except for Shabbos. But that's the way to explain it. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayta now. So Meisvei, we could ask from the following place. So the Torah says v'samach, and the Torah says v'shachat. Masmicha b'taharin afshchita b'taharin. That smicha has to be done by taharin shchita. Also, only by Torah. V'i amrit lav daraisa. But if you're going to say take off the smicha shchita is not a daraisa, b'tmei nami mishkachasa, then you could do smicha even with tamei people, because the din of smicha, only being kosher b'torim, is derived from the fact that shchita has to be done in the azara. But if the smicha can be done outside of the azara, so you can have tamei people doing who are not allowed to enter the azara doing the smicha. If this whole din is only drabanan, how do I know that tamei people are not kosher to do the smicha? The tamei person could do the smicha outside of the azara, and then a tar person will go and do the shchita in the azara. Ella epoch. So the Gemara says you're right. We have to switch it around. Smichas asha mitzora lav daraisa. The very notion of doing smicha in asha mitzora is not a din daraisa. The take of the smicha shchita daraisa. But the din of take of the smicha shchita whenever smicha is required, that's a din daraisa. And since this smicha is only a drabanan, we don't allow the mitzora who's tameh, who has tumas tzaras, to enter into the azara in order to do this smicha, because this smicha is not so important. It's only an Issa Drabanan. We're not going to be dochi surim daraisa and allow a tamei person to enter the azara in order to do this smicha. Period. Now the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned previously. We started the daf by saying that ula quoted Reish Lakish that bia b'miktsas is shema bia. So we said, but wait, mitzora whose shmini shalom, whose eighth day of his tara process, comes out on erev Pesach, and he also becomes a balkari. So he's allowed to go onto the Arabayis to do his whole tara, because we'd rather him not sacrifice korban Pesach, which has an isur kares, and we allow the assay of Pesach that has kares to be docha the assay of tuma that he's not that a person who's a balkari is not allowed on Arabayis, because the assay of a balkari not being allowed on Arabayis doesn't have an Isser Kares. But we said, if Bia b'miksas is Shema Bia, forget about the fact that he's going in Arabayis. He's going into the Azara, because he has the Matan Bahonos. And that's an Isser Kares for a Balkari to go into the Azara. So how could the assay of Korban Pesach be Dochit? So Ula said, Ula gave an answer, right? What did he say? That, since anyway we're being Matir, Mitam is Tumas Tzaras, so we're also Matir for the Tumas Keri. So now we're going to give two other answers. Ravina Amar Linin Malkus Hitmar. The whole idea that Bia B'Miktsas Shema Bia is only as far as the Chiv Malkus is concerned. But Bia B'Miktsas is not considered entering when it comes to the Chiv Kares. So you can't ask from the Brisa that implies that you're not Chayiv Kares. Tosfos points out it's still difficult. Why should the Asay of Pesach Bidocha, meaning even though, okay, so it's not an asay sheyesh bo kares for a balkari to enter into the azara, but it's still a los asay v'asay. You have the nisr lav from the hekesh to negia, and an asay that tamayiyah, and asay is not docha los asay v'asay. And furthermore, he says, the asay is not docha los asay unless it's be'idna. Now, what's the asay over here? To have the actual sprinkling of the dam on his bahonos, but that only happens after he sticks his hands in. So it's not even happening simultaneously. So Tosa says that the Aseh of Karban Pesach is so chamur, since it has karis associated with it, will even allow it to be docha los Aseh v'aseh, and will even allow it to be docha shalo be'idna, which is an unbelievable chiddush. Normally you say, you know what we normally call that? If you do an averet so that you'll be able to do a mitzvah afterwards, not be'idna, not at the same time, we call that mitzvah abba b'avera, normally. And yet, over here, Tosa saying, no, Aseh docha los Aseh, because the Aseh is so chashuv, it's so important. And then the Gemara gives another answer. He asked Rav Naman Rabbi Avahu, Linyan Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh. Reish Lakish learns, Reish Lakish does not learn from this pasuk the din of Bia B'Mikdash at all, except for a Tamei person who touches Kodesh, that he gets Malkus. Itmar, that's where it was said. Di Itmar, Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh, if a Tamei person touches Kodesh, Reish Lakish Amar Loka, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loka. Reish Lakish says he gets Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan says he does not get Malkus. Why? Reish Lakish Amar Loka, you get Malkus because by the din of Yoledes, when she's Tamei, the Torah says, B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loka, no, there's no Malkus, who be Truma Ksiv. That pasuk B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga is talking about touching Truma, not touching Kodesh. V'Reish Lakish Haikra Lach Yudasa. But wait, does Reish Lakish use this pasuk to teach about a Tamei who touches Kodesh? Haim Bayulei Ashar Lo Chal Basar Kodesh. He already uses this pasuk to tell me in Ashara that there's an Isser for a person who's tamei to eat basar kodesh. So the pasuk's not available to teach me that a tamei person who touches basar kodesh gets malchus. The itmar asar lo chal basar kodesh minayin. How do I know that a tamei person is not allowed to eat basar kodesh? Reish Lakish amar b'chol kodesh lo siga. Reish Lakish derives it from this very pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan to Amar Tani Bardela Asya Tumaso Mibias Migdash. He learns this Isser from Gzera Shava of Tumaso by Bias Migdash, that it says that a time person who eats Kodesh says Vanafsha Tokh Basam Izavak Shomashal Hashem Vitumaso Alav Minakhsan Nafshimel, and by the onus of a tummy person who enters the base of Migdash, it says Kol Rogeh B'Meis B'Nefesh Adam Asher Muslo Yischata as Mishkan Hashem Timei B'Nechusah Nefeshu Misol Kimei Nidol Ozarakal of Tamei Ya'od Tumaso Vo. So Mala Allah and Anash V'His here, just like by a Tamei person entering the Migdash, we find that there's an Onesh and there's an Ashara. So Afkan, so over here also by a Tamei person eating Kodesh, Anash V'His here. Okay, but that's all beside the point. The point is that Reish Lakish uses the pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga to tell me that a Tamei person cannot eat Basar Kodesh. So how can you use that same pasuk to teach me that a Tamei person cannot touch Basar Kodesh? So the man answers, Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh Midavka Rachmana B'Lashon Megia Asar La'Ochel Midiskish Kodesh L'Mikdash. There are two different drashas. There's a double drasha that can be learned from the same pasuk. The fact that a Tamei person is not allowed to touch Kodesh is from the fact that the Torah uses the word of Tiga, B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga. The Isser for an Ochel, for eating Basar Kodesh while you're Tamei, is from the Hekish of Kodesh L'Mikdash. That Basar Kodesh is compared to B'as Mikdash. It says B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga Ve'el HaMikdash Lo Savo. Right? We're not Dorish Smuchim in Kala Torah Kula outside of Mishnah Torah, but within the same Pasuk, that's called a Hekish. There's a difference. When two phrases are in the same pasuk, that's a hekish. That we're dorish and kala terukula. Smucha means juxtaposition of two different pasukim next to each other. That's only in Mishnah Torah. That we only do in Sefer Dvarim. But we see from here that the ikur pasuk is about someone who eats kodesh while they're tamei, not about touching, but from the fact that it uses it belashon, that it says it belashon nagia. So we learn the issur of touching as well. Tanya Kavasid Reish Lakish, and we have a brisa that says, like Reish Lakish, that the Isser of a Tamei person eating Basar Kodesh in fact comes from this Pasuk. B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, says the Pasuk, and the brisa darshins, Asara Lo Ochel, that it's an Asara, that's the Isser for someone eating Basar Kodesh while they're Tamei. Ata Omer, Asara Lo Ochel, O Enu El Nogea. Are you sure that it's about eating Kodesh while Tamei? Maybe the whole Pasuk is only about touching Kodesh while Tamei. So Tamei Lomar b'chol kodesh lo siga ve'el ha-migdash lo savo. No, there's a hekish between kodesh and migdash. Makish kodesh lo migdash. Ma migdash davar shiyesh bo nitilas neshama. Just like by migdash it's a chiv kares for entering the migdash when you're tamei. Av Kodesh, Dover Sheesh Bo Nithilas Neshama. So we darshin by Kodesh as well, that it's something that you chayv karis for. V'in Nithilas Neshama, mi ika leba achila. And there's no chayv karis for touching Kodesh. There's only a chayv karis for achilas Kodesh. So b'chol Kodesh lo siga has to be talking about achilas Kodesh, even though it's b'lasho negia. So that's exactly like Reish Lakish said. So the next step, the Gemara is going to say, but wait, there's a third drasha that we need to learn from b'chol Kodesh lo siga. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow, and how we are able to learn three drashas from the same pasuk according to Reish Lakish.